Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and... just Brian Haydad here on a Friday morning. Thanks for starting the weekend with me here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. I appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird if Brupolo was in Chester.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. This holiday season, if you've got a coffee lover in your home, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And if you're not cooking out this weekend, let somebody cook a steak for you. We have so many great steakhouses around the state, and now's the time to vote for your favorite. Go to the Mississippi Beef Council's Facebook page and place your vote today for your favorite burger, your favorite steak in the state of Mississippi, and we'll announce the winners as soon as that voting wraps up. Looking forward to finding out who has the best steak and the best burger in the state. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. This holiday season, you know you're going to get some MSU stuff for your friends and family. Get it at College Corner, two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Black Friday's coming up. They're going to have a great Black Friday special. I'll be sure to let you know what it is as soon as I know what it is, and we'll get you hooked up with some great deals at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler? I mean, how many times do I got to talk about Restaurant Tyler before you go eat there? If you haven't eaten at Restaurant Tyler, if you're a Mississippi State fan, and you haven't eaten at Restaurant Tyler yet, if you're listening to me going, oh, Restaurant Tyler, what's that? What's wrong with you? What, shame on you. Shame on you for not eating at Starkville's best restaurant. For lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, you want the best meal in town. It's always there at Restaurant Tyler. I may go there today. I may go hit them up for some lunch today. I'm craving a little catfish. We'll see. We'll see if I make that decision or not. If I do make that decision, it means I'm going to get the best lunch in town because I went to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you, hey, not only where they're located, but how they're going to help you invest, help you manage your money, help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, if you have questions about your money, you deserve answers immediately. You don't should have to wait around for somebody who's got you on hold, who doesn't know you. You want a relationship with a bank like you can have at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. No Robbie today. He's not dead or anything. By the way, if you're wondering, hey, Dad, you got through that ad break pretty quickly. I did. I wrote it down. I wrote down what the order of things. It was very smart for me, so I should be okay now. No Robbie today because we just got a couple of interviews. And today, actually, you know, as you know, we record on Thursdays. For Friday's show. But on Thursday, I will be, Thursday I was in, as you're listening. I guess this is some kind of weird version of Future Brian here. It's like Super Past Brian. I don't know. But anyway, I'll be at Scruggs in Saltillo, Mississippi for a remote for Sports Talk Mississippi. So it's going to be difficult to get in and get it out. So I just got this. We got two interviews today. That's going to be the show. So let's just jump right into them. And we'll start on the softball diamond. Let's start with my conversation with Coach Sam Ricketts. Samantha Ricketts, always enjoy talking to her, always excited about her program. They had a great year last year. I think this might be the year where that postseason softball comes to News Park for the first time in terms of hosting a regional. I really think they have a chance to do that. They've got a good team, a good nucleus returning. Just got some questions here and there, but that's everybody, right? And I also wanted to ask her about the addition of an Oklahoma program, you know, that she played at and won championships at. And now they're in the SEC, the absolute best, maybe the best college sports program in the country, Oklahoma softball. What do they bring to the conference? Let's go to my conversation now with Coach Samantha Ricketts, MSU softball. Normally we do this all at once, but this year, because football was kind enough to give us two bye weeks, we have two bye week blitzes. Let's go to the diamond. Let's go to the spring sports. Let's talk softball with Coach Samantha Ricketts. And Coach, 6 seasons in Starkville now. Technically, it's only 5 seasons in Starkville because you had the whole COVID thing your first year. When you think about building a program and getting a program where you want it to be, where year in and year out, we can contend for championships here, it would be the message. How close do you feel as you enter this season, you've gotten your program to where you want it to be?
Yeah, I think we're really close. I think, you know, we're getting in the right athletes, which is the biggest part of taking over a program, is the recruiting and bringing in high quality players that are also good people that you can build a culture around. And I think that's something that we've been working towards and building year in and year out. You know, when I think a big piece of especially the last couple years has been just all of the changes in the NCAA and navigating those changes along with building the program. As the transfer portal rules change and NIL becomes a factor, it really changes maybe what our plan was 5 or 6 years ago. So I think just navigating the changes in the different spaces, getting in the right people, same goes with the right staff, having the facilities like we have now, I think it really just sets us up well to compete on the national level like we expect ourselves to.
Culture is a word that coaches love to use, and it has a different meaning in literally every program you go to. What is the culture of Samantha Ricketts' program?
For us, it's people first, and I think you win with people, and if especially female athletes, but really I think just this generation of young women and young men, that they want to know that they feel cared for and safe before they're really going to go all out and sell out like you would ask them to do on the field. So it's making sure that not only that you're pushing them on the field, but also off, and providing them with resources through the good and the bad. And I think that's something where at a program like Mississippi State, in a school with this type of resources, we're able to do. And, you know, you're going to love them hard, but you're going to coach them hard too. And making sure that they understand there's a balance. And the reason is because if they're going to be great, they can't always be comfortable. And I think that's something that we work hard on, especially in the fall in our off season. It's pushing them out of their comfort zones. And ultimately for us, the goal when they graduate is not only are they leaving with some championships, but also ready to go out and tackle the world. You know, there's not a whole lot of professional opportunities for softball. So we want them to go out and be ready and be successful in whatever it is they choose to do after college, and to have the tools to be a successful young woman out in the workforce.
You mentioned the tools that Mississippi State can provide. I had a question about something that's happening here in the city of Starkville. And the answer might just be, Brian, you're just an idiot and you don't know anything. But I'll take that if it's the case. Starkville recently opens up Cornerstone Park, this massive facility out there off of Highway 25. All of the softball events that you see around the state, they're going to be coming here to Starkville. Does that provide anything for your program? Is there anything that your program gains from having a facility like that here in Starkville?
Oh, yeah, it's huge. I think it helps to grow the game, especially in Starkville and in the state. And that's something that we're working to do. But you're able to bring in the next generation of young softball players. And our goal, hopefully, is to work some of these youth softball tournaments around our SEC games and also get them in the stands. And, you know, we've met with them. We've worked with them quite a bit already, hosting camps out there, but going out to recruit tournaments that they might host in town, and then also allowing them to use our facility and work in tandem so that they're getting in good players and they're getting in good teams that want to see Starkville, want to play at an SEC park, maybe for the championship game of some of these tournaments they do. And in return, we're getting a bunch of young screaming fans to come and attend our games and help us continue to push our attendance record forward. So we're excited about it, for the opportunity. We're growing, I think, year by year with them, but they've been awesome about working with us and kind of listening with our ideas of what we want to do to help grow.
It must be nice to go to recruiting and then you can just be home in 5 minutes too, right?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. I'd love that.
Let's look at your team and what you bring back this year. If I did my math right, you returned 6 of your top 8 hitters amongst your everyday players from a season ago. Is this going to be a team that where offense is the focus and you're going to be saying, all right, we can put a lot of runs on the board based on what we're bringing back?
I think for us, we really think this team could be really well balanced. It might not be as many home runs as we hit last year, but I think we're going to be able to balance out the power numbers with the speed, hitting a lot of doubles, stolen bases. Offense has always been a big part of what we do, but I think our pitching is going to be able to help out as well. I think just continuing to grow under our new pitching coach, Coach Taryn Mowat McKinney, who's in her second year with us. And then also our defense. Our defense has just gotten better and better every year, and it was a big focus for us to not be last in the SEC in fielding percentage, and something that we've really worked hard on and bringing in the right athletes that are going to be able to help us offensively as well as defensively. So I think overall looking for just consistency across all three phases, but offense is always something that we can, you know, you're going to ride the ups and downs with it, but defense can be consistent through every game. So I think that's what we're working for right now.
You mentioned power. If our guy, Brian Ogden, who's lurking on this phone call, by the way, we're not showing him, but he's here. If he got paid for every tweet he sent off about a Madison Kennedy home run, he'd be a really rich man this second. Who replaces that pop in your lineup?
I think there's a couple options. Like, we've got a few that could push for some double-digit home runs. And Maddie was our only one last year with double digits, hitting 17. But it was also her only year doing that. And to me, Madison Kennedy was just a huge testament to the growth and the development of this program. And somebody who was here for 4.5, 5 years, essentially. And she got better every year. And she went from kind of a defensive specialist her first year to being, you know, one of the best power hitters in the SEC as a senior and an All-American. So I think we've got a couple others on that path that are continuing to get better offensively and add to their numbers year after year. A big one's probably Jesse Blaine. She'll be in her second year as a transfer for us from Auburn. A lot of power. She could see some time behind the plate. I think played a lot of the DP position last year. Also could mix in the outfield. Her with Sierra Sacco, Ella Wesolowski, Kylie Edwards, a lot of our returning starters, I think, have a chance to kind of push for some double-digit home runs to give us some consistency there.
Then in the circle, I almost said on the mound, in the circle, Josie Maron, is she going to take the role that Aspen Wesley has held for you the past couple of years and be that ace that you can throw out there every Friday night and count on her?
I think so. I think she's really earned that chance this year. And you know, she's been one who's been thrown out there since her freshman year. So just a lot of experience. She's pitched in a lot of big games and has kind of learned that mentality. And I think Coach T has been a huge part for her with that as well. Just learning how to handle the grind that is the SEC and, you know, wanting the ball, I think, is a huge piece of it. Not being afraid to back down from whoever it is that we're facing on the other line, in the other dugout. So I think she's a big part of it. But in our game, pitching is, it's just gotten so big, or you really need a staff. You're not really getting by with two or three arms anymore. So we've got seven. We'll see how many we need, but I think she's definitely the frontline one that when we really need to, you know, get after it on a Friday night, Josie will have the ball in her hand.
Nowadays, you can't talk about you can't do a season preview without talking about newcomers. And it's not just freshmen anymore, right? It's definitely the transfer portal. Who are the new faces for Mississippi State softball this year you think are going to make an impact for you?
Yeah, we only actually took one out of the transfer portal this year. We didn't took three last year, one this season, and really we kind of use it to plug in holes. I think for us, we like having kids for 4 years if we can. So we took bigger freshman class, one out of the portal. And for us, that was Raylan Chafin, who's a right-handed pitcher from LSU. And she's one, I think, just mentally really fit in with our style. She just got a bulldog approach. She's gritty. She's got a chip on her shoulder, ready to prove people wrong. And she's had a tough fall. She was the one recently, she just kind of released her story, but about her first week in Starkville, she found out that she had thyroid cancer, stage one. And early September had her thyroid removed and she's back, she's pitching, and just the grit that she's had and how hard she's worked through that battle and has not let it slow her down. I'm just really excited for her story and what she's going to be able to do and use these challenges she's faced for us in the spring. So she's going to be a big piece of what we're doing. She's just getting better and better in the bullpen with Coach T as well. And then I think a lot of freshmen we'll see in some good battles, whether it's the outfield, second base is another one. Morgan Stiles was a big recruit for us that we got late last year, right before signing day, and just really does it all. She's mature. She's competitive. She's going to hit for average. I kind of had her leading off for a little bit in the fall as well. And plays really good defense. I think she'll be mixing in somewhere. Zion Romero's started to pick up for us offensively and can play infield as well. I think those are two of the big ones, as well as Sarah Phillips, a freshman who could pitch a little bit in the circle, good spin, and is going to be able to, I think, take some of those midweek innings so you can keep some of the veteran pitchers fresh for the weekend. So there's quite a few, I think, with some opportunities to get out there early. A couple in the outfield as well. And then even some returners who've really been working the last 2 years. And I think it's kind of their time and they've really been showing a lot of strides and excited to see them get some opportunities early this year.
You talked about only taking one transfer. I mean, that's an outlier in college sports these days. Do you feel like you can keep those numbers low going forward, or is there going to be a year maybe in the future where you're like, we need to go out and get seven, eight people out of the portal?
Yeah, I mean, you really never know. And I think just for us and the way our culture works, we would prefer low numbers because, when you're trying to keep that consistency, you want players who have kind of learned the system and can teach it to the next group coming in. And really, you get to see players like a Madison Kennedy, like an Aspen Wesley, who just get better and better over the course of 4 years. And, I wish we had had Sierra Sacco for 4 years. I can only imagine how much better she would have continued to go to get. But for us, it's more about kind of filling holes and just kind of taking what we need and trying not to recruit over the really good freshman talent that we know we have coming in too.
I don't know if anybody made you aware of this, but the SEC went and added the best softball program in the country to the lineup here, along with the Texas Longhorns, an Oklahoma team that you might have a little bit of familiarity with through the
Heard
years,
about them a little bit.
just a little bit. You and I, whenever we've talked, we always try to tell people, like, look, however hard you think the SEC is for football or for baseball, it is. Softball might be the sport where it is the absolute most difficult, and then you go and add Oklahoma and Texas. What does that mean for this conference, and what does it mean for your program going forward to have those two programs on the schedule?
Yeah, it really just elevates us even more so than we already were. And all 13 teams made postseason last year for the SEC. And then you're just adding the two teams that finished as the national champion and the national runner-up last year. So two just storied, solid, strong programs I think that we're excited to have. And I think it's just going to help us continue to elevate the game. And particularly in the SEC, all of us coaches have the goal of helping to grow women's sports and softball and attendance numbers and pushing for stadiums that we can fill. And, when in an era of revenue generating conversations, like let us contribute and let us pack some stadiums. And I think that's what you're seeing. And the excitement when you're able to bring an OU or Texas to town and pack your stadium. That's what I think the goal is for all of us. And with every SEC team, we packed, we set a single season attendance record last year in our first season selling tickets. And for us, that was a huge milestone and something that we want to keep building off of. And we're excited for the challenge. We've played OU every year the last 4 years. And I've told Coach Gasso I'm the only one who's been willing to do that for her. And you really, if we want to be the best, you got to play the best. And we're not going to be afraid of the challenge. And our girls really love getting after it and playing to that level. And that's the goal for us to do every weekend.
Other than winning the national title every year, what is something that Coach Gasso does that you would like to bring to your program that you would like to emulate?
I mean, I think really just what she does for women in sports everywhere. Like she's really just grown in her the way she's mentored and led not just her players but her staff. And to see that from the time that I played for her until now, and how she continues to lead and push, and she's not afraid to stand up for what's right in women's sports and to speak out even when maybe that's not her comfort zone. And she's all about growing young women, growing girls into women. That's kind of a saying that she's used since I've known her. And just to see that consistency that she's done, and for players who've graduated from her program to go on and be successful in everything they do, that's the ultimate goal. And I think she does it the right way by pushing them and also treating them with respect. And I think it's just that consistency factor and that leadership and mentoring that I'm really, I think, the most in awe of when I look at that program.
Trying to see, have you been back to Norman as a coach since you played there?
Not as a head coach. We
Okay.
went as an assistant, I think, 1 year. But no, every time we played him here in Starkville 2 years ago, and then everything else has been neutral site.
Okay. So that'll be a good moment for you then.
It'll be fun. I haven't seen the new stadium, so I'm excited to see what they've built.
A lot of banners. I know that. That's all I
Oh
really
yeah,
know
there's a
about
couple in
it.
there.
Coach Ricketts, always appreciate your time. Looking forward to another great season of softball here, and looking forward to seeing postseason play at Neuse Park a little later this year. I think we're going to get there this year. We'll see.
Absolutely. That's the goal. Appreciate you having me on, Brian.
All right. Thanks, Coach Ricketts. Appreciate her time. Really good stuff there, as always. Got to have a lot of questions when you talk to Coach Ricketts. So when I do an interview, give you a little inside baseball. I think, if I want 12, 13 minutes, I need to have six, maybe seven questions. I should be good there. With her, I got to have like at least nine. She's a fast talker. Fast talker. Gets all the information out. She's a fast talker, though. So appreciate her time. Really good stuff. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Guys, if you're a business owner and you're not working with pit printing signs, you are missing out. You are not getting everything out of the relationship you could have with your printer that you could have. All right. 30 years of experience helping people out. PipRidgeland.com is the website. They can do a much better job than I of showing you. I mean, you know, I've talked about it all this time, and now I can show it to you. Look at this stuff here. Look at this stuff here, guys. Can we see it? Let me get the camera up here. Let's make sure we're good here. Yeah, look at all this stuff that they can do for you. I mean, look, this is a list. This is a list right here. They can put together an incredible package to get the message of your business out. Give Cam Baker a call today, 601-499-5216. Tell me you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip Pip today. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you're looking for. I'm looking for smoked Southern soul food. Maybe I'll go to lunch at Two Brothers. You know, one day I'm going to have a cheat day and I'm going to hit Tyler and Two Brothers in the same day. I'm just going to do that. Not today, though. But I do love Two Brothers. I also love the Older Brother. The Older Brother has become one of my favorite restaurants in this town. Like, I think about that croque monsieur a lot. Like, I should go eat that. I need to go get that. Put it on the list. Maybe I'll go eat there today. I don't know the answer, but I do know that when I want a great meal, I can go to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. I can go to, why's my camera out of focus? What's going on here? Was weird. Did you see it? I saw it. Did you see it? I saw it. Two Brothers Smoked Meats, the Older Brother, two of the best restaurants in Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. I need to get Robbie saying 50. I need to so that I have that and the little weird thing. I'll do that for my next show. Just make sure in case next time he's not here. I didn't think about that. So I'll just say it for him. 50. When you need technology for your business, when you need an electronic, not an appliance, when you need electronics for your business, call Advantage Business Systems and get them to take care of you. And then if you need service, it's just a phone call away. It's the same people. The people you already have a relationship with, you're talking to them again. So give them a call, 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, you need to go to Maroon & Co. and grab yourself some new gear. This time of year, it's starting to cool down a little bit. Maybe you need to get a new pullover, new hoodie, new jacket. They've got them all at Maroon & Co. They've got the logos that you want. They've got the state script, the interlocking. They've got stuff you can't get anywhere else. They've got the Bulldog Initiative gear. So if you want to get those hoodies, those pullovers, they've got them there. It's all right there at Maroon & Co. Use the promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% on any regular price item. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to Davis Wade, before you go to Duty Noble, before you go to the Hump, go to Maroon & Co. All right, speaking of Duty Noble, Coach Chris Lemonis joined me earlier today. You can tell from the shirt, this interview was recorded on this day, and the one with Coach Ricketts was on another day. So, I did not just do a wardrobe change just for her. So, talked to him about his team, who he brought back, who he brought in. And of course, the expectation level, the return to Omaha. Spoiler alert, he likes his team. He really likes his team. Let's talk about it right now. Coach Chris Lemonis, Mississippi State baseball. They say that baseball is the national pastime. It is definitely Starkville's pastime. And no man knows that better than my guest right now, Coach Chris Lemonis, Mississippi State baseball. Before we begin the interview, I have a heartfelt apology to offer you. As a
Okay.
San Francisco Giants fan, I apologize. I know you were one round away from getting Dakota Jordan back on campus for another year, and my team swiped him up. I'm glad that he's a Giant, but
Yeah.
my apologies. You know, I think I would have rather seen him in maroon and white for one more year.
Well, we tried. We had him out there. You know, it's funny. There was a picture of him running the Golden Gate Bridge this week. You know, he was out there with draft kids, and he is the worst long distance runner you'll ever find. So everybody on the team is giving him a hard time, and he showed back up in here this week. He's been working out with us, but I'm happy for him, man. $2 million and one of the top players in the country. I mean, that's man, well deserved.
So he's gone, but you do return Hunter Hines. And that's a guy that I think if we had done this interview a year ago, nobody would have predicted Hunter Hines would have been back for another year in Starkville. They would have thought he'd be on to the major leagues as well. You get him back. I asked you once before about production versus leadership, which is more difficult to replace. Which are you happier to have back, Hunter Hines' production or Hunter Hines' leadership?
Well, I don't want to knock his leadership, but I sat him down when he got back here and, hey man, I just, you worry about you and be a great teammate, but you don't have to stand on the top step and lead this program. I can do that. I just want you to swing at better pitches, you know? And so, you know, that draft year, even for Dakota, it's a lot of pressure on these guys. And so I think he has been wonderful this fall, like in terms of, man, he's put on like 20 pounds. He looks great. He's been, you know, attitude's great, working his tail off. And I think those are the areas. It's kind of like we have the old Hunter back, you know. And so I could just tell it was weighing on him last year. And it weighed on Dakota, too, at times.
When you looked at how you needed to replenish your roster through the portal this year, do you look at it in terms of, well, let's just go out and get the best players available and we'll make them fit where they fit? Or do you have a plan going into it and say, we need to get these type of players?
You know, it's really hard because, you know, most people think it's like going to the grocery store. You know, you
I have made that analogy several times.
I want a left-handed pitcher on aisle three, and then I want – and nothing comes at you the right way. You know, the best player you need may be at the end of the summer, and you're already full, right? So there's this – as it's coming at you, you got to make a decision. Is that the guy we want? I was really pleased because we felt like we needed a frontline pitcher. Jacob Pruitt really filled in there. Chase Hungate for us as a pitcher. Man, you got a back-end guy who's been to Omaha the last 2 years and one of the better relievers in the country. And then, you know, the position player group, I thought, you know, they've really given us some balance, some leadership, some physicality. And everybody I talked to this fall, like, man, y'all are so much bigger. I feel like we've been able to fill those pieces. And then, you know, this the way you recruit now, it's high school kids, JUCO kids, portal kids. It's like three different classes. And I feel like we hit each class really pretty good. So, but that transfer portal class was a big one.
I thought something that was underrated a season ago, you know, when people thought, why was Mississippi State better last year? Everybody likes to point at the improvement in pitching. And obviously it was huge. You know, Coach Parker came in, did a great job. Defensively last year, you went from the worst in the conference to third. You shaved 23 errors off of your season total. You were one of the best defensive teams in the country a season ago. Now you got to replace, you know, three-fourths of your infield this year. But defensively, and I know that's something you love to talk about, is this team going to be as good defensively as it was a season ago?
I think so. I really think we got a chance. Where you add Ross Highfield back behind the plate, which that's a big key that you don't think about as much. But then you also, you know, the two, you know, I think we had 13 one-run games, you know. Everybody in town reminded me the whole offseason. So, you know, coach, if we could just win those. I'm saying, you think, you know, but, you know, you got – but we lose Dylan Cup opening night at SEC play, who was Team USA shortstop, you know. That was a big loss. And then also not having Ross Highfield, who I think you'll see this year is one of the better players in the country. You know, so we're going to blend in some of those pieces right off the bat. And then, yeah, we do have to replace a guy or two, but I think we can be better, you know, or as good. You know, I tell recruits all the time, we were 10th in the country and six of the teams ahead of us were on turf, you know, so we play on natural grass, you know. So, you know, where does that land you at the end of the day? It puts you in a pretty good spot. But we've all really actually 23 was just the only bad year we've had here defensively, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, we got back to the norm, I think, last year.
You mentioned Highfield, and that's who I wanted to ask about next. You don't hear a lot about catchers having that kind of injury. And, you know, never mind his ability to throw, but now you get his bat back in there. You know, you expected him to make a big jump from freshman to sophomore. He didn't get the chance to do that. So now that he's a junior, is it fair to expect an even bigger jump from his freshman year, or is it just going to be we're going to take what we get here and he'll just be improved?
I just think you're going to get that good. I always think their biggest jump is freshman to sophomore year, and so that's what it's going to fill out. Maybe it's a little bigger, but he had a really good fall. And what people don't realize about Ross, it's crazy power, but he also runs like Dakota, you know. And so you have – he's my best – base. Like all fall, I'm like, you're not – you'll slide head first, and I'm like, Ross, no. You have to slide feet first. You know, like, Ross, slow down. Like, it's – you know, even with Dakota last year, there were times, you know, I was always worried about his hamstrings. I didn't let him run as much because you need that RBI guy in your lineup all the time. And so but Ross is, it's got a chance to be pretty special. You know, he's still got to go out and do it every day.
You're the reason Dakota's not a good long distance runner. You wouldn't let him run.
No, he can't. I mean, I'm telling you, he is the worst. When we do our time run at the beginning of semester, he came in last every year. And it's just the way he's built. He just doesn't have any, you know, slow twitch. He's all quick twitch.
But so you can get away with that when you can hit the ball 450 feet at 96
and run that fast. I mean, he's the fastest guy too. So yeah.
Another injured player I wanted to ask you about. You go back a year ago, Mekhi Grant was a name that I kept hearing, and I was like, they're saying this guy could end up being the closer. He's got that kind of talent level. Where is he in his rehab, and how much of a role can he play for you this year?
So right now he's facing live he's 2 innings a week, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're off the field, but Monday he threw. So he's simulated, he's throwing. It's, you know, mid-90s with that good slider. He's still trying to get the slider back to where it was pre-injury, but he's still, you know, 2.5 months out. But, you know, think about Mekhi when he showed up, it was just a young kid throwing, and now you're seeing a guy who kind of understands it. He's going to be a big piece. I mean, it's going to be one of the better pitchers in the country, I would imagine. How we use him, it may just depend on the injury and, you know, a little bit out of the pen early, get your feet wet, be a starter. But it wouldn't shock me if he's a starter coming out of spring training too, if he does, you know, if he earns it. So he can just do so many things for you.
So I want you to – I know you're not big on the comps, neither am I, but let's do it anyway. Who is this year's Kyle Steven? A newcomer – it doesn't have to be a pitcher, but a newcomer that has a massive year for you. And then who is this year's Tyson Harden, a player from last year's team that takes a big step forward?
All right, I'm going to say I hate putting pressure on him, but Ace Reese had a really good fall for us. Big third baseman out of Houston, transfer portal guy, hit like 6 homers. But just – he doesn't swing and miss a ton. He has backside hits. He does a lot of things. Still needs to improve, but he's a third baseman. I think he could, you know, really help us there. And then, you know, the Tyson Harden one, I don't know. We got a couple guys in there. I mean, maybe a Stone Simmons, you know, getting Stone back and being in the mix for us, I think could be a big jump for him. You know, maybe that's one that could really help us. I mean, he was really good this fall. He could be a starter for us too. But we didn't know this time last year. I mean, it's crazy. We like Cal and we like Tyson, but we didn't think they would, you know, what we need is a Cal Stevens personality. You know, he was such an alpha. He scared me when I asked to get the ball from him at the end of the game. That's why we started sending Parker out. But he was such a tough, he's what made, he really, I mean, Parker was a huge deal, right? But his mentality, him and Durangelo kind of linked up in there, and that made for, you know, that really helped Durangelo grow up a little bit too.
Just so many new faces on the pitching staff, but one guy that everybody knows is Pico Khan. And, you know, you saw him last year towards the end of the season become a more reliable starter. You saw him in postseason play, and I thought he looked really good. Is he a guy that you can put into that rotation this year? Is he going to be a bullpen guy? What's his role going to be?
Well, he should be a rotation guy. You know, I mean, that's what he is. I mean, that last outing in Virginia, that's what we have to try to duplicate, you know, to get his velo to a point. You know, he had a chance to sign, I mean, in like the third round for real money, but really felt like if he came back for another year, he could improve with Parker. And there is that piece of honing those mechanics and everything else. So, you know, I would be shocked if he wasn't in the weekend rotation. So
I want to ask you a kind of a big picture baseball question. You know, when you look at the pros now, it feels like it's strikeout or home run. And there's the days of, you know, having a bunch of singles hitters and things like that, it's gone. I don't see that as much in college baseball. You still have guys whose role is to, you know, a guy like Bryce Chance is not a big power guy, but you can put him up there and he can deliver the big hit. Do you see college baseball kind of staying in that more traditional how we view baseball from the old days, or is there a movement to try to go to more of this, you know, power or strikeout kind of situation?
Well, I mean, you're fighting it all the time, I think. I mean, I think that's one of the things we look back last year, and we had so many strikeouts in the 3 or 4 hole. That was concerning. And we had production, but it was just a lot of strikeouts. You know, the way they're training pitchers, that's one of the hard things. I mean, you're looking up, and there's more mid-90 guys in our league right now than there's ever been, you know. But we're trying to keep it. You know, there was a big article that came out with the Dodgers, you know, and Dodgers-Yankees there, and it just talked about all the different ways the Dodgers – were better than the Yankees. And it was the small things. It was the base running. It was the leads. It was that type of stuff. So I think you're trying to, you know, at some point in the season, you got to win a game 3-2, you know, for every great team. And if you're just a bad defensive team that hits homers and strikes people out, it will get you at some point in time.
I would appreciate it if you would not give the Dodgers any kind of praise of any sort
Oh, I just be in the West Coast. You can only
I
like
can't
it.
stand the Dodgers. No, I'm a Giants fan. That's the Ole Miss of MLB for me.
There you go. All right. Well, their catcher Will Smith played for me at Louisville, so that's
okay.
I cheer for players, so I'll just link in and you know.
I'll let you have that. I'll let you have that. I'm not. I want to preface this. I'm not saying your schedule's easy. I'm not saying your schedule's easy because I know you. It's the SEC. It's never easy. No Tennessee, no Arkansas, no Vanderbilt on this year's schedule for you. Your first two series are kind of cool. You get to you're the first team to play Texas in SEC play. Then you'll go to Oklahoma. I assume that's their first home series. When you look at this schedule, is this a schedule that you've put together? You feel like, okay, RPI wise, we're going to be there at the end in terms of the hosting discussion?
I do. I mean, that's the big piece. And what people don't, you know. You just have to win what you're supposed to win. You know, last year we started out with the first 2 weeks and the injuries, and we didn't play well, and that's what got us. You know, and we really, to be honest with you, we should have hosted. You know, I had three or four people off that committee call me when it's over. I'm sorry. You know, like that doesn't do me a lot of good. You know, but it was one of those things where, you know, but you have to take care of your non-conference at home. You can't lose the teams you're supposed to beat. You know, you look up at Georgia last year. Their first 2-4 weeks were, you know, probably, you know, easier than some, but they dominated them, you know, and that's what the committee looked like. And even though we finished ahead of them in the league, they got the piece of it because they didn't lose any of those games. So, but our conference schedule, you know, last year, probably, I think we were the second hardest conference schedule. And the year before that, I think we were the third hardest conference schedule. So we've gone through the gauntlet. But like you said, we opened with Texas, Oklahoma, and LSU, two of them on the road. That doesn't feel real easy. No. You know, so like
That's what I said. It's not easy.
There's no easy in this league. It cracks me up all the time. Somebody, well, always like, hey, we played six of the top 10. Well, that's the SEC. That's what you did. It doesn't matter, good, you know, hard schedule or not. Sometimes it's a little easier. But in baseball is one of those things where, you know, it's when you play somebody and how are they hot or not. You know, ours is a little different than some of the other sports because football – you can kind of plow through somebody sometimes. And baseball is about matchups and who's hot and who's not.
All right, last question is the most important one. You know what an Omaha team looks like. Can this be an Omaha team?
Oh, yeah. I would like to think we're probably a top 10 team right now, and we got a lot to figure out. There's so many pieces in the portal world for everybody. You know, how do these pieces fall together? You know, we actually had a couple really good JUCO kids we signed. We have a couple special freshmen that are going to help us right away. So I definitely think it is. We got to figure out our starting rotation. You know, you got to have some where we were so good and so reliable on that Friday and Saturday. We got to figure out, you know, who's going to be in those spots. But, you know, it's an exciting group. And they've worked hard. They've gotten after it. But I like our group. They're really deep offensively, which I think will help us.
A Valentine's Day opening day for Mississippi State baseball. I'll have to go ahead and apologize to my wife. I won't be there.
She likes baseball, so
she does.
She'll love it. So
she might need to come out to the ballpark with me, Coach. Always appreciate your time. Thanks so much, Coach Chris Lemonis.
Thanks, Brian.
Always appreciate Coach Lemonis and his time. Really good stuff there from him. Like you know, I've asked him in the past, I'm like, you know, do you like your team? And he I'm not saying he hems and haws about it, but, you know, he's not usually that blunt about, yeah, I think we're a top 10 team. Okay, let's see it, because that's what Mississippi State fans want. As you know, last year I was way off on my projection for that team. I thought they were going to be bad. I really did. And they end up, you know, having a really good season. I'm going to really hold off on a projection for this team. I want to see them play before I make any kind of real decisions on what I think they're going to be. Because they proved me wrong last year. You know, I remember very vividly doing an interview and telling, you know, before they played LSU, I was just like, guys, this team is not any good. They may not win 10 games in the conference this year. They're awful. And then they go out and they take two out of three from LSU, and they were kind of off and running from there. So I want to see a lot of baseball before I'm not gonna jump on the hot take train with this baseball team this season. That's just not going to happen. We're going to play wait and see. When we start doing previews, I'm going to be like, well, I think there's not going to be any I know from me. So, again, thank you, Coach Lemonis. That'll wrap up the bye week blitz. So two bye weeks. We talked to Coach Jans, Coach Purcell, Coach Armstrong, Coach Lemonis, and Coach Ricketts. I appreciate all their time. Thank them very much for joining us here on the podcast. Next week, back into the football, Mississippi State, Missouri. We'll looking ahead to that. Obviously, basketball is going to be heating up. Mississippi State and and Utah Sunday afternoon in South Haven. I will be in South Haven at the Landers Center to see the Bulldogs play. Robbie will be at the Hump for Mississippi State women's basketball. So double basketball on Sunday's podcast. Since we're not doing things that are true, since there's not a football game, so we'll have just a more of a normal podcast. Looking forward to that. If you're in South Haven this weekend, please come by and say hello. Love to meet you guys, and happy to talk to you. Have a great weekend, guys. Enjoy college football. No stress this weekend. Just watch the games and enjoy them. And I'll talk to you guys again on Monday. For Robbie Falk, who obviously isn't here, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.